Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's the seventh day of the seventh month of 2025. Good morning and welcome to the MoneyWeb Now podcast with Simon Brown. I'm Duduzile Ramela in for Mr. Brown this week. A pleasure to be in your company. Here's what you can look forward to. We're going to be speaking to Nick Kunze, Senior Portfolio Manager, in a few moments at Sanlam. He's going to be talking to us about Hudako's interim results, as well as MultiChoice and Canal Plus's potential tie-up. Herman van Papendorp from Momentum Investments will share his economic outlook for the rest of 2025. And we look at a proposal to bar employers from requesting payslips from job seekers in South Africa. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Your morning headlines: MoneyWeb Everest Wealth 65% hedge fund return. Too good to be true? Well, that's the question that's being asked. Business Day: PGM deficit here to stay. That's according to the World Platinum Investment Council. Your morning markets: US markets closed on Friday due to the country marking Independence Day. Commodities: gold futures 3,310, Brent 6,787, platinum 1,382, palladium 1,128. The rand is trading at 17.67 to the dollar. Bitcoin 109,393. Top 40 opening call expected up by 70 points.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Nick Kunze is Senior Portfolio Manager at Sanlam. He joins us now to take a look at Hudako's interim results, among others. Thank you very much, Nick, for your time this morning. So the company notes that they had a tough 6 months ending 31 May. What's your reading of the results?
Good morning to the listeners. Not a bad set of results. I mean, it is obviously pretty much solely SA looking and focused. So obviously with our GDP and all the rest of it, a bit of a tough one. But nevertheless, still managed to produce a not bad set of numbers. I mean, revenue declining very slightly, but the key metric there, HEPS, up almost 20%, 9.38. So pretty decent, I think, overall, and a bit more room for growth. The stock's down about 5% year to date. So I think investors will look sort of kindly on these set of numbers.
You say the stock is down some 5%, and during the release of the results, we heard that the company is really feeling it. They're saying that it's tough to do business in South Africa. What should we understand about that statement?
I think it speaks for itself. I mean, it's operating in an environment where the majority of its earnings are coming from a country that's not growing. So, you know, stagnant growth, a business like this, which specializes in, automotive products, industrial, electronic, mainly consumables, and 45% or 46%, I think, of group sales comes just from a sort of consumer focus. So, yeah, I mean, I think that says exactly what it is. You know, we need growth. The minute they get that turnaround, you should see a kicker on these consumers. Staples like Hudako.
Yeah, they concluded two acquisitions during the reporting period, namely Isotech and FlowSolve. Did they contribute to the group's overall results?
They are starting to. I mean, FlowSolve's an interesting one. That is obviously more focused to the mining and industrial sectors. I mean, they paid, I think, just over 700 million rand to acquire that asset, and that's going to start kicking into, I think it was about 30, I think close to 40 odd million rand that contributed to that turnover and profit as well. So yeah, starting to bed those down, and they should be feeding through to the financials next and the next set of numbers.
Let's take a look at Canal Plus and MultiChoice. Why should we be paying attention here, Nick?
Well, should we all? Because you're all watching the sport and listening to your cricket intro as well. So, yeah it's very interesting. I mean, this is a particular business. I mean, they were sort of, the dominant players across the continent, and everyone we know certainly had a dish on their roof. But, you know, times are changing. You know, they're feeling the pressure from the streamers. And they need scale, they need money. I mean, effectively, I mean, this business is practically insolvent. I mean, let's be honest about it. But so that Canal Plus came along, they've been The French company's been sort of courting them sort of Feb last year. So it's been dragging on for a while, but looks like they're going to bear that down. But I think they need the money. And Canal Plus, quite frankly, could do with exposure to sub-Saharan Africa where multi-choice plays. So all in all, it's a good deal, I think. When it eventually gets bedded down, the price of 120 is a good price as well. I think shareholders of multi-choice should be grateful because this business is really struggling.
Nick, I do wonder if I can just pick your brain on Invicta Holdings, because we also heard from its chair, Christo Visser, last week, saying that they're looking to generate some 50% of their earnings outside of South Africa within the next 2 years. What should we read into that?
Well, Mr. Visser, I mean, he's very much, pushing attention offshore. He always has been. I think... Interesting enough, they're quite a similar, often compared to Hideco with what they do. Mm-hmm. But as you said, a lot of their income coming from offshore. Invicta, I think it's a good business, but I think, quite frankly, not on the same scale as Hideco. They're half the market cap, so not quite apples and apples, but nevertheless showing more intent from South African holding companies to look for their earnings offshore.
I mean, if you listen to some of the sentiments coming from Hudako and coming from Invicta, more so about doing business in South Africa, in the long term, or maybe even in the short term, is there reason to worry about South Africa's outlook?
Goodness, we only have to ask an economist that question. But what I will say this, if you want to, the positive aspect is a lot of these South African companies, a lot of the companies that we sort of invest in as well, they are coming out with a decent set of numbers. They're quality management firms, and they're doing all this despite what they've got thrown in against them. I mean, if you look at the miners who complain about electricity or the logistics or transit and all above, you do get these companies that sort of rise above it all, and they just carry on. So imagine what they would be doing if we do get it right. So I think that's what you got to look forward to. They are very resilient businesses, brilliant management teams, and a little bit of a break, and I think you'll see a really solid set of operating numbers coming through.
Senior Portfolio Manager at Sanlam, Nick Kunze, thank you very much for your time this morning.
The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation-beating returns. Let your money keep working with Standard Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
A piece of legislation is currently before Parliament. The Fair Pay Bill aims to, quote, amend the Employment Equity Act and bring fairness, transparency and dignity to the South African job market. That's according to the party that has tabled it, Build One South Africa. Now, if passed, employers will no longer be allowed to ask for or rely on your payslip when applying for a job or when determining your salary, among other proposals. Cliff Dekker-Hofmeyer believes the bill holds promise and potential problems. Sashen Naidu is Associate in Employment Law at CDH. Sashen, thank you very much for your time this morning. Currently, what does the law provide about the payslip procedure?
Hi, Dudu. Thanks for having me. And hello to all of your listeners. The law currently does not stipulate that employers or prospective employers are barred or prohibited from asking for previous payslips. In other words, your salary history, when you apply for a job, right? Mm-hmm. But what the Employment Equity Act does do is it does promote fair pay, and it does aim to eliminate forms of discrimination with regards to pay. And a typical example of this is what we call equal pay for work of equal value, right? Subject to certain limitations.
Right. So on a global level, then, we'll come back to the relevance of this proposal. But on a global level, is there a standard regarding payslip disclosure?
So certainly we're seeing that there's a standard that's being developed, right? There's a huge move towards more pay transparency, more fairness in pay. Many countries, for example, have started to ban salary history questions. And this is really just to break that cycle of wage inequality, because you can imagine that you wouldn't want a bad salary to haunt you for the rest of your career, obviously. Right. So South Africa is seeking to align itself with these trends. And one example of this is the EU Pay Transparency Directive. That's now in the European Union, which requires employers to provide information about pay or pay ranges up front. In California, for example, we've got legislation which has now prohibited prospective employers from requesting your pay history when making a determination as to what is a suitable remuneration for an employee. Mm-hmm. So certainly, internationally, there's huge traction when dealing with this issue of pay transparency.
Does that then answer the relevance question in terms of tabling this proposal?
I believe so. Look, there's a mischief that has developed over time, right, where pay history and secrecy surrounding pay has been used to sort of undercut employees and their expectations of what is acceptable as remuneration. And thus we see the world over, right? Internationally, this has become a problem. In South Africa, through the Fair Pay Bill, I think now seeks to just bridge that gap and to cure that mischief that has developed over time.
I think you've sort of addressed the advantage of the bill. How much resistance do you perceive there will be from employers when we speak of maybe disadvantages? And maybe you can expand on some of the other disadvantages.
Yeah, so there certainly are some disadvantages. What you will find is that it might become harder for employers to judge, the kinds of offers that they would have to make to attract suitable employees. Employers will have to go at it alone and make determinations based on market factors rather than a employee's previous salary, right? And it gives them obviously less room to negotiate on salaries because what an employer would be expected to upfront state what it is that they'll be prepared to pay an employee. What this also might lead to is that in the market itself, many competitors would, just as it's made available in the public sphere, they'll be able to have access to the type of remuneration that's being paid by their competitors, right? Okay. So there are those disadvantages, but there obviously are certain solutions that we need to look at to address those disadvantages.
Sure. And it's still quite some way until this obviously can be adopted because there's certain procedures that it has to go through from a parliamentary process point of view.
Yes, no, of course. So the bill has just been tabled by Build One South Africa. It will still have to go through the process of sitting before the state law advisors. It will also have to be tagged as an given its appropriate tag as a bill. And then they'll follow a process of public consultation, and it would have to sit for deliberation before the National Assembly, the National Council of Provinces, before it finally makes its way to the President to be signed into law.
Sure. Thank you very much, Sashen, for your time this morning. Sashen Naidu is Associate in Employment Law at Clif Dekker Hofmeyr.
Give your money smoother returns with Stanlib Asset Management. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
It's an important week, this one, as we look forward to the 9th of July. That's when a 90-day freeze on sweeping U.S. tariffs is set to expire. And so we take a look at the economic outlook, if you will, for the rest of the year. It's been a rather busy start to the year, for lack of a better expression. For that outlook, we speak to Herman van Papendorp, Head of Asset Allocation at Momentum Investments. Herman, thank you very much for your time this morning. So you believe that markedly higher effective tariffs should negatively impact the United States inflation and economic growth going forward, more so when we look forward to Wednesday.
Absolutely. Good morning, Dudu. I think, we've obviously been tariffed out this this year since President Trump came into office on the 20th of January. So he's been toing and froing on tariffs all the time. But yes, this week's a very important one because on the 9th of April, after that 2nd of April shock on tariffs, he postponed a lot of these tariffs for 90 days, which then expires on the 9th of July, which is Wednesday. So a very important week because we need to see what he might do or might not do on tariffs, whether he will give further abstentions on tariffs or whether he's going to be enforcing tariffs on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And that has significant implications, obviously, for the economy around the world, economies around the world, but particularly the U.S. economy, and therefore also a feed through into financial markets. So I think what we can see at the moment is, as tariffs stand, we now have six times a higher effective tariff rate in the U.S. than what we had pre-Trump. Pre-Trump, roughly around 2% effective tariff on imports in the U.S. As we stand now, it's 12%. So again, you can see that that's quite significantly negative, both for inflation and economic growth in the U.S., and therefore for U.S. bonds and equity markets. So yeah, quite important. If he increases it even further, then obviously the negative on inflation and growth will be even higher than what we have as we stand at the moment.
This toing and froing, Herman, that a lot of people perceive as policy uncertainty, what does it signal to investors who historically perceived security and reliability of the U.S. as an investment destination?
Yes, I think there are big question marks about the U.S. as an investment destination now under this new Trump regime, because of all this unpredictability and uncertainty of what he might do or might not do. So I think that's negative for new investment flows around the world, for the U.S. particularly, because people say that now that we can't see the U.S. as the normal safe haven destination as it used to be. They're looking for new avenues maybe to employ their capital. So I think for new investment flows, probably more and more of those flows will go to other regions around the world in developed markets, Europe, Japan, but also in emerging markets, including South Africa, within that emerging market framework. So it should be negative for U.S. assets, negative for U.S. dollar. Now, if the dollar is weaker, that means that emerging market currencies are stronger, and that is positive for emerging market bonds and equities versus developed market assets in this kind of new Trump era.
So here we have an opportunity, essentially.
Absolutely. I think, South African equities, South African bonds, they've been under the cosh over the last decade or so, but they're now coming to fruition as potentially new avenues of investment capital search for South African assets as well. And both of those areas, South African equities and South African bonds, are cheap relative to developed markets, but also within the emerging market framework. I mean, South African equities, for instance, it's always a high beta play on emerging markets, so you can actually take a good chunk of your assets in emerging markets in South Africa. It gives you the same kind of returns as in emerging markets, but probably now more with South African equities at a large valuation discount to emerging market equities. And South African equity is very much under-owned within emerging market funds. It's now the fourth largest underweight in global emerging market funds. So, there's opportunity there for South Africa if you see some renewed interest from foreign investors in emerging markets, including then South Africa. And you could see some flow support coming through from new investment flows into South African equities, but also into South African bonds.
So this underflow, Herman, of SA equities, what do we put it down to? A lack of exposure?
I think in general, because South Africa has gone through a tumultuous kind of political framework over the last decade, really, foreign investors have attached a large risk premium to South Africa, and therefore said, we're not going to come and risk our capital in South Africa in an environment where, you've got an economy that's not growing, you've got state capture, so just too much risk for potential returns that we can have in South Africa. But now what we have is obviously a much more stable kind of political framework. We've gone away from the state capture kind of era. Yes, the economy is not growing as we would want it, but in an environment of government and national unity potentially starting to put through some reforms on the economic side, investors are saying, there's more opportunity now in South Africa, and we're buying in at very low valuations, and there's no overhang of investors being overweight in South Africa. So the combination of all those telling investors, well, my risk reward is now much more favorable in South Africa now going forward than what we have been accustomed to for the last decade or so.
Right. So the overall takeaway, U.S. markets need to watch out, but South African markets, here's an opportunity and we should get ready for that overflow. Thank you very much, Herman, for your time this morning. Herman van Poppendorp, Head of Asset Allocation at Momentum Investments. And that's it from us for today. Do join us again tomorrow for more of the MoneyWeb Now podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and app at 6:30 a.m. and podcast just after 7 a.m. Thanks to the team, Eddie, Nobuhle and Nicole, and to you for listening and our guests for their time. I'm Duduzile Ramela in for Mr. Brown this morning. We'll chat again tomorrow.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb Now at the same time every weekday. For more business, finance, and investment news, MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.